10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You've just gotten that phone call. You just got into your doctor's office and they want to see you. They have something to tell you. They want to tell you that you have cancer. Do you want to view yourself as a cancer victim, or do you want to view yourself as a cancer survivor? On today's Croc podcast, we will be continuing with the definition of survivorship. This is Seasons of Survival. The Croc podcast starts now. I want you to forget everything about your cancer. I want you to forget everything about what your doctors have told you. I want you to forget everything about your treatments. And I want you to start with a blank slate. This is Dr. Tom Iannelli, and this is the Croc Podcast. Howdy, Crockers. This is your friend, Dr. Tom Iannelli, sitting here across the way from my favorite podcast godfather, Mr. Angel Santana from the Have Faith, Let It Begin podcast. And we're here to continue our discussion from last week as far as defining survivorship. Now, Angel, you just had a series of podcasts going over your adventures with Kohler and Bed Bath & Beyond and going through some construction, and I'm going through some construction myself. And I have to tell you, I don't think there's anybody smarter in this world than people who do construction, electrical, carpentry. I mean, these are some really bright people. And believe me, I live in a world of very smart people. And one of the things that I am fascinated by, since I don't know anything about construction, is how these professionals begin a project. They never begin a project without a good foundation. Do you find that to be your experience as well?
I would have to concur.
Yeah. So when I was trying to figure out after our first episode of The Waiting Room and kind of got us kicked off, I thought, since we're beginning this journey, trying to help survivors get through the process of their survivorship, giving them the tools to succeed in their survivorship, I think what a great opportunity to actually start with a very solid, strong foundation. And I know what you guys are thinking, enough with survivorship definitions, blah, blah, blah. Let's get on with it already. But believe me when I tell you, the importance of a good foundation is paramount. And we have that opportunity, since this is a new podcast experience, to actually give you that. And I know that you don't want it. I know you don't want to take your medicine, but I'm going to make you really, really know the definition of survivorship. Now, without getting into too much detail, last week we really didn't finish what I wanted to finish, because one thing I do know from doing this for so many decades is you never interrupt the cancer survivor when they're telling their story. And we were very blessed and very honored to have Greer last week tell us about her journey. And it was so powerful. Would you agree, Angel, and so uplifting?
I would say it was probably one of the highlights of my week and inspired me to do other episodes. And jokingly, we joked how I want her on my show.
Yes. Yeah, you want to steal my guest, don't you, Angel?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. And I don't blame you. She is an elegant lady, very articulate. And it's okay. You know, we didn't get to what we wanted to get to in its entirety, but that's okay. That's the beauty of being the boss and having your own podcast. You can make your own rules, right?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. So last week, and I'm not going to belabor the point, we talked about a Dr. Fitzhugh Mullen, who was a remarkable person. I would really urge you to go to that podcast, which would be episode 2, I believe, Defining Survivorship. And we talked about Dr. Mullen as being, you know, a very inspiring person. I don't want to Christianize this podcast. We are a non-denominational, completely, bias-free format here. But he sort of is like the patron saint of survivorship because, again, according to our discussion last week, he was a very privileged young white male, grew up in a family of doctors, went to boarding school or high quality, you know, prep school, and then went to Harvard and then went to the University of Chicago. And he could have made buku bucks, but instead he practiced what he called ghetto medicine. His entire pretty much career was public health and making life better, trying to find where health disparities and care disparities were, and try to equalize that situation, like the medical version of the equalizer, right? And he did such a great job, and he's done so much. I really recommend that you guys, you know, do some digging about Dr. Fitzhugh Mullen. But in 1975, when he was a young 32-year-old doctor, husband, father, son, brother, physician, he actually was diagnosed with a very, very high-grade tumor in the chest. When they went to try to biopsy this lesion, he bled out, and they had to crack his chest open. He was on a respirator. He really should have died. They kept him alive, gave him transfusions, kept him on that respirator. Then he had to endure months of very aggressive chemotherapy and radiation. A year later, he had complications from the treatments. His sternum had to be reconstructed from the radiation. And when he came out on the other side, he published, again, this is our definition, our survivorship definition, he published the first article that was really what I feel to be the modernization of the view of the survivor. His thought process when he was a cancer, when he was undergoing active treatment, he was thought of as a victim, and he didn't feel like a victim, and he felt a great kinship to other survivors, and he did not think that the cancer journey of the cancer patient should be defined as such. He wanted to kind of revolutionize the way cancer survivorship was viewed, how cancer patients were viewed, how cancer patients were treated, and he wanted to basically redo the entire process, kind of like what we're trying to do here, Angel, kind of re-explore and start with a blank slate, as we said from our first episode. So that is Dr. Mullen's story, and what we're going to do today is we're going to properly complete our analysis of that Sentinel paper. Now, Angel and Rod are going to put that reference from that article from the New England Journal of Medicine, which was published in 1985, volume 313 from pages 270 to 273. We'll place that on our website so you guys can try to achieve reviewing that. And I have to tell you, last week, Angel, I was reading some parts of that article verbatim, and I'm not going to do that today because it just didn't feel right. But I did it because each word in that article has value. And I didn't want to shortchange you guys, our Crocker podcast family. But at the same time, you know, me reading from a piece of paper is not what you want, nor is it what I want. So let's go through his paper extemporaneously, just kind of going off the cuff, and kind of break it down into the different seasons of survivorship, as he mentions. So he breaks down survivorship into three seasons. There's the acute survival season, there is the extended survival season, and there's the permanent survival season. And let's break them down, Angel, one at a time, and we're just going to go through the high points of the paper, and you can kind of read it yourself. But again, cancer survivors were not called survivors, they were called victims. You had to earn the right to have the term being a cancer survivor by living 5 years. And if you live 5 years, then maybe they would consider you a survivor. That's hogwash. You have enough on your plate to have to worry about earning the badge of being a survivor. From the second you're told you have cancer, you are a survivor. And that is the definition. There will be people that are not in agreement with that, and we'll discuss their data as well. We'll read their papers, and we'll present that research to you. But for the purpose of this podcast, as an advocacy podcast for you survivors, you are a survivor, and your family members and friends are survivors from the minute you achieve that diagnosis. So the acute survival aspect basically is broken down as to the diagnosis and the treatment of your cancer. That phase of survivorship is filled with fear, anxiety, and facing your own mortality. Now, I have been doing this, as I keep telling you guys a million times how old I am, but I've been doing it for a long time. And the thing that has always been a paradox to me is that patients have seen me and have always told me the same thing. They have had to realize that they will not live forever, that they have an expiration date. And I find that to be funny because one of our future podcasts will be directly addressing that, not so much as a truth, because it is a truth, but the truth is true of everyone. I'm looking at a handsome young lad here on my left who has a long life ahead of him and a little baby daughter and all that kind of stuff. And he's got a lot of spiritual work to do on, you know, on his plate for the next 40 years or more. But really, Angel, you, me, we are all looking at that same hourglass, that same, you know, those drops of sand. And really, why should it be that a cancer survivor, just because they've been diagnosed with cancer, has any less value toward that longevity than we do? And them facing their mortality, you guys facing your mortality, is really no different than what we should be doing on a daily basis. Angel, all of your listeners, all of your family on the Have Faith, Let It Begin podcast, you know, this is really important for them to know. You do not have to have cancer to recognize your mortality and what your responsibility is to fellow human beings. But by realizing that truth, to kind of break down that wall of deception, that's not really a bad thing. That's very empowering. And, you know, I don't want to sound existential or, you know, I don't want to sound like a European philosopher. But the truth of the matter is that is the truth. That is the truth. We will not be immortal. We will die, all of us. And just because you're a cancer survivor doesn't mean that you are any more pinned to the ground with that, but more you're liberated. That liberation from that deception that we all have, thinking we all have so much time to live. The truth of the matter is we really don't. So this is all happening during the acute survival phase. There's one more thing, actually two more things that are part of that phase. One of them is you begin to experience the side effects of treatment. Now, luckily, especially in 2021, side effects are handled much better. There are less side effects. We have better supportive medications and supportive treatments and paradigms and things like that. But poor Dr. Mullen, he got it. If there was a side effect, he got it. I mean, just on his biopsy, they almost killed him. And then the treatments almost killed him. And then he came out the other end, and I'm sure he had issues for his entire life because of the treatments that he had. So those are all some of the things we're going to be talking about. In addition, he was the first one, I believe, and I could be wrong, but certainly one of the first ones that brought the importance and elevated your families and your friends as part of the process. Your family, your support group, you could be married, not married, children, no children, have a family who are alive or have friends, work families, whatever. They are part of your process, and that had been ignored. It was a cancer victim who would get their treatment, get sick as hell, and come out the other side, and whatever we did to you, that's just the way it was. You're lucky to be alive. And that's really unfortunate. But, you know, again, this is 1985 we're talking about, and we're going to go into the future as we get into the next podcast on defining survivorship. When we look and talk about extended survivorship, there's sort of now a paradox. So, Angel, you finish your cancer treatments and you think you should be happy. But the majority of patients, according to this article, are paradoxically anxious because they lose that comfort. They lose that security blanket, coming in for radiation every day, going to an infusion center every day, seeing your favorite nurse, seeing your favorite doctor. Once that's taken from you and you don't need to do that anymore, that's a very, very scary situation. And that's something that Dr. Mullen, again, really wanted to make clear. In addition, you now join. Now, I love roller coasters. I don't know if you like roller coasters, Angel, but I always tell my patients that welcome to the roller coaster of cancer, because you'll be great for 2 months, and then you'll have your PSA, your colonoscopy, a chest x-ray, a PET scan, a CAT scan, and then there's the, you know, you'll be a little anxious for about a week before, and then you'll be outright terrified, and then you'll have your test, and you're going to be on pins and needles, and every time the phone rings, your heart is going to leap out of your chest, and you want to hear that you're doing good, and you think the cancer has come back, and then your doctor says you're doing great, everything's negative, and one of the things with the system being broken is sometimes that information doesn't reach you in a timely manner. Sometimes it might take a week or two, or God forbid, even longer, that you even get a call back, so we'll be talking about that as well. We're also going to mention during the extended survival season that there's a transition with your side effects. So those acute side effects that you have during your radiation, remember Dr. Mullen mentioned how joyful he was to be able to eat Chinese food after his esophagitis or his inflammation of the esophagus reduced and resolved. These little victories, this transition, but then new things pop up. You have physical limitations. You might have body alterations or body image issues. You may have lost a breast. You know, you may have been rendered impotent from either your medicines or your treatments. These are huge, huge issues, and these are starting to now pop their head into your world as if you didn't have enough to worry about during this extended survival. You're also isolated. You're depressed. You're devastated. And you also have what's called caretaker impotence, meaning that now who do you go back to? Now, again, we're back in 1985, and we will be fast-forwarding in the next couple of podcasts, but in 1985, you go back to your internist, your general practitioner. You know, what do they know about all of these cancer-related side effects? They know nothing. There's no survival plan. There's no specialty or expertise in how to manage you after you've been rendered, limited by your treatments. So this is all the things that Dr. Mullen mentions in extended survivorship. In permanent survivorship, it's sort of a different thing. You now have been considered cured. Not only have you been now elevated from a victim to a survivor, but now you're a survivor who has been cured of his or her cancer. But let's remember that same mentality of cancer victim, the same way people were thinking you need to prove yourself for 5 years before you get to get that title or whatever. We were in a time in those days where everything was very binary, and I'll explain that to you. Binary is more of a computer / logic term where something is either one or zero. It's either a yes or a no. There's no shades of gray. There's no explanation. You're either, either your nerve impulse fires or your nerve impulse doesn't fire. There's nothing in between. And what Dr. Mullen was, again, every single word in his paper is revolutionary, to be honest with you. He mentions something like cancer is not binary. Even if a cancer survivor is not going to survive their cancer, and they're sitting next to a cancer survivor who is going to survive their cancer, they have far more in common than a cancer survivor and a non-cancer survivor. So that experience of cancer, that experience of survivorship, is not a binary experience. And it's really important for everyone to know that. In addition, he mentions the Humpty Dumpty effect, and I think it's brilliant. You will never be the same after your treatment, either physically or emotionally or spiritually or socially. There will be changes. Many of the changes will be for the good, but many of them will not be for the good. I have some more bad news for you guys when you get into your permanent survivorship. Even now, and this is 85, so 40 years later, cancer survivors still have to face tremendous discrimination. Discrimination both personally, in their relationships, in their friendships, but even more importantly, at their workplace. How about trying to get health insurance or life insurance after you've been diagnosed, even with a stage 1 curable breast cancer, stage one curable prostate cancer. Nobody wants to talk to you. No one wants to take a risk on you. Things are better. Again, we're talking 1985, but you can imagine the discrimination. If it still exists now, imagine the discrimination back in those days. In addition, you're going to have to deal with long-term primary and secondary effects. The paradox, again, I keep using the word paradox, but it really fits, Angel, in this situation, is that sometimes curative cancer treatments, which do cure you, can also give you a secondary cancer. I have seen, again, one of the benefits of being in practice for a while is that you get to see patients you treated 35 years ago. And some of those patients, especially our young people with Hodgkin's disease or whatever, that got big field radiation, now are suffering from chronic coronary artery disease or even worse, breast cancers, sarcomas, all sorts of things like that. So this is another thing you're dealing with permanent survivorship. And again, the whole thing with caretaker impotence, things are better, but that's something we're going to have to talk about on a future podcast. So we are basically going to be moving forward now from 1985 to a more contemporary time where Dr. Mullen got together a coalition of people, coalition of organizations, and made or actually started or endowed what's called the National Coalition for Cancer Survivorship. And at the next podcast, we'll be talking about the National Academy of Medicine's 10 Commandments. We'll be talking about another sentinel paper called Lost in Translation. We are going to be looking at the shift of cancer survivorship and cancer diagnosis from late stages to early stages. And we will be talking about halfway technology, the middle ground of cancer survivorship. So I think we have still a lot to do to build that secure foundation. And I want to take my time and do it correctly. I want to take my time and really give you the information, give you the references, so we start this project, this entire project of trying to change cancer survivorship and advocacy for the cancer survivor, and start with that firm foundation that we began today's podcast with. Before leaving, as always, before the end of any podcast, we have our Croc gratitude shout-outs. Angel Santana, I mentioned to him this week, I've been listening to his podcast every day, and it's changing me. It is really awakening my spiritual side. I think it's going to benefit this podcast. It's really bringing me back to a time when I was younger and had stronger faith, and I want to thank him for that. He is absolutely a gem. Please listen to his podcast, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Rod Freeman, if you're listening out there, you are the man. He is the Croc guru, the tech guru, keeping us up to date on our Facebook and on our Twitter. And I'll have Angel shout out those locations for you, Facebook, Twitter, and our webpage. And lastly, two very wonderful people, as we mentioned last week, Charlotte Larson and Mikey Benzea, out in LA trying to change the world in the entertainment business. Certainly not too busy to help us launch this podcast. Certainly not too busy to try to make this world a better place. They certainly don't have to do it. Mikey sends me pictures all the time of him, meeting and rubbing elbows with some really famous people. And I think it's great, but he's never let that experience change who he is. He is a humble boy from the Hudson Valley whose mom was a breast cancer survivor, and he has never forgot his roots. And Charlotte, thank you for your kindness. You are one of those very special people. You're very quiet. You have no need to be recognized. You just kind of do your thing in your philanthropy in your own quiet way. Thank you very much. Angel, give these guys our info, and I'm sure they're sick of my voice, And
I'm not. I'm sitting here next to you. I'm just loving everything you say. All right, folks, I want to thank you for listening to the Croc Podcast. This is a show that's, like we said from the very beginning, is going to change the industry. And one of the things that we want you to remember is this is an opportunity for you to join the Croc family, the Crockers. I like that, by the way.
Yeah, we're the Crockers. I think that's
awesome. And I'm a proud Crocker, so I invite all my half-faith viewers to do that as well. The website, very simple. It's crocvip.com. That's C-R-O-C. VIP.com. That's the website. We have a Facebook account, so just look us up. It's Croc VIP, and Twitter is now open. Twitter is alive and well, and that's at Croc VIP. We're going to put everything on the description, so that way you can take a look at it. You can click on it and join the new and upcoming podcast, which is available every single Sunday. It airs at 9 a.m. and every once in a while we're going to surprise you. We're going to throw an episode here, an episode there. So if you're not a Crocker, if you don't subscribe, you will not be able to know when these surprise episodes are going to come out. So look for that, and we look forward to seeing you. I'll give you the last word, my friend.
You know, Angel, Wednesdays are my favorite day of the week. Number one, half of the week is over. But more importantly, I get to see your beautiful face, and I get to do this podcast with you. And I hope, again, all I can hope for is to reach one person. If there's one person out there that we've reached and have helped, God bless us, and please stay with us. Keep us in your prayers. Again, it's really important for me to build up the resource content of the website. So if we do talk about something on the podcast that you want to research further, we want to be able to have you have that. So in closing, we wish you God's blessing, God's speed, and peace always. This is your friend, Dr. Tommy Anelli, the head of the Crockers of the Croc Podcast. See you next Sunday.